You're listening to the ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
We've been on a journey for a while now, and I don't know if you've gotten the clue on the journey, but we began talking about Nehemiah a long time ago, a year ago, and we spent almost a year in the book of Nehemiah, talking about rebuilding the wall to prepare our hearts for rebuilding, in a sense, our church. And then we continued on, and when we got to the end, we asked the question, well, who will be the next Nehemiah? Which one of us will stand in our hearts and with our feet and say, where I am in my community, where I am in my family, where I am in my church, I'm going to be a part of the rebuilding. Now, we know the rebuilding's going to be some changes within this spot and some changes in our facility, but it's a rebuilding in our hearts as well. And then we've come back now and kicked off talking about who we are as a church. Because we've talked about rebuilding, but then now we've looked at the points of Acts and to look into the scriptures of the book of Acts and say, who are we as a church? What is our identity? What is the role that we are to play? We know that our vision, we know that our mission is unchanging no matter when and where you are. It's the Great Commission to go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them in every ways, everything that God has commanded, teach them these things and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I will be with you. So that's our mission. That's who we are. That's what we're doing. But we've been talking about these three words, a relevant biblical community. Then when people hear church, they don't usually think relevant. When they hear church, they don't think about things being relevant. They think about irrelevant. They think, oh yeah, I know about church. Church is what was good for 50 years ago, those problems. But for us to say, no, we want to build a bridge today from Christ to culture and from culture to Christ so that people could see that today the church is relevant. Today, Jesus Christ is relevant. Today, with their problems, it is still true. But we're not going to be relevant by being some pop psychologist. We're not going to be relevant by having me give you 7 tips on a great life every day, every Sunday. We're going to be relevant by being biblical. So we're relevant, but we're biblical. We're also biblical because those tie together. A relevant biblical community. Not a relevant biblical corporation. Not a relevant biblical club. A relevant biblical community. To reach out to people, to reach out to our friends and neighbors, and to say, Jesus Christ, whether you've been going to church your whole life and now you've stopped or you've never even come to church, Jesus Christ is relevant. His Bible is true. And you can be a part of a community of believers that will love you well and care for you well. A place you can be authentic, a place you can be impacted, a place you can be impactful. See, relevant, as we've been talking about who we are, we've used this illustration of the Swiss Army knife. That's not just a Swiss Army knife like we all grew up with, but this Swiss Army knife has got an MP3 player in it. That it's relevant to today's culture, that we can pull this thing out and put it on, and you can even take it out of your knife to put it in your pocket to go onto a plane. They understand what 9/11 did to our world. And so we're relevant in the fact that we can connect with culture of where it is today. But a knife isn't a knife without a knife. So you can be as cool as you want to be, but if you don't have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, then it's worthless. This is no better than just some talk show that you would watch in the middle of the week. But not only would that happen, but you're a part of a community, the Swiss Army, this army of God, the people of God, the family of God, not an army marching in terrorism, an army marching on its knees in love, a relevant biblical community. And we're going to end this little spot that we've had of talking about those three words. Because I want you to understand who we are. Because next week, and as Brother John kicked off last week, we're going to ask you to be a part of the story. So for a year, I've been talking to you about rebuilding walls, and I've been talking to you about moving forward, and that we've got to do some things that are different, and it's not going to be easy, and you can't just let the walls be in shambles. You've got to be able to rebuild it. And what are we rebuilding it for? We're rebuilding it for us to be a relevant biblical community. And we've talked about relevant for a few weeks, and we've talked about biblical for a few weeks. And we're going to talk today again for the second time about being a community, what that means. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together as the family of God. No greater way to explain the community
of the church than for us to dine on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you're going to have to listen fast, and you're going to have to take notes fast, and you know I'm going to talk fast. You already knew that years ago. So we're going to go for it, and we're going to see in Acts chapter 2 what this thing is about with community. Because we've been looking back into the book of Acts. We haven't been coming up with some type of, well, what'd you hear at your conference, Greg? Come and tell us that. We're coming and saying, what does the church need to look like for tomorrow? It needs to look like what it looked like in Acts. And so in Acts chapter 2, we're going to pick up, we did half of it last week, this little section, or 2 weeks ago, and we're going to do the rest of it this one. So we're going to start in verse 46. This is what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved daily. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We kick off with the community of believers that there they are in this spot in Jerusalem. God's doing amazing things, and they come together. It said that they sold all their possessions and they came together. We talked about that wasn't communism. That was koinonia fellowship. That was descriptive, not prescriptive. So we come together and we get together in this spot and we come as a community. And it says that they met in the temple courts and then they broke bread together in each other's homes. They ate together in each other's homes. Great meals, you'll love this. Great meals produce great community. Great meals produce great community because you're sharing of time and trust. This week, I got to go to a party in a church member's house. Beautiful, beautiful home. Great living room. Great dining room. Great, you know, all the other rooms I'm sure were wonderful. Do you know where everybody hung out? The kitchen. That's right. Why? Because in the kitchen, there was something casual about it. Because in the kitchen, there was food about it. In the kitchen, there was a place where we could dine about it. In the kitchen, no one was worried about dropping it on the floor. In the kitchen, we could be a place of community. We could be a place of community. See, we define community here at Houston's First Baptist Church with this sentence. Community at HFBC, Houston's First Baptist Church, is providing a place to be authentic, to be involved, to be impacted, and to be impactful. Now, you don't have to memorize all those words. You don't have to know all those words off the top of your head. It's just trying to give us definition of a community is not just sitting in a room together. A community is where you can be yourself. C.S. Lewis says that all great friendships begin with this sentence. Oh, really? You too? I thought I was the only one. That's where a great sentence or a great sentence of a great friendship begins. A place to be authentic. And too many of us are faking it when we get to church. We are the least authentic of our entire week when we walk in these doors. And you may fool everybody on the planet, but you do not fool God. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And I've learned just in my own ministry, it's really hard if you're faking it and you're going to get up and preach a sermon. To just call out to God in the morning and say, Lord, I don't have anything else. God, I don't have any more steam. God, I don't have any great points. God, I need your spirit as John 15. You are the vine. I am the branch. You go through me, God, and may I be for you in this moment. But too often we use our Christian lingo and we use our Christian voices and everything's hunky-dory great and we're faking it. And God is saying, if you're going to be a community, you've got to be a community of authenticity. And we're the greatest point of authenticity in all of our lives is when we are sitting at that dining room table. When we are standing in that kitchen. And we see here in Acts 2, they broke bread together in the homes. Great meals build great community. Because you share time and trust together. Jesus, the resurrected Christ, in John chapter 21, said to them, come and let us have breakfast. Mark chapter 14 says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, the Lord's Supper. Revelation 19, verse 9, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We are about dining together. Now that's good because I like to eat and so do you. I like good food and so do you. There will be brownies in heaven. And they won't be low fat. It'll be the full on deal. Good meals build good communities, but they sat there as well in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. And so your homework assignment is sometime this week, sometime today, schedule a dinner with somebody that's in this room. Schedule a lunch, get together with somebody and eat. Go out to eat with somebody in your family, somebody in your friends. That's your homework assignment. They broke bread in the homes, but also they sat there in the temple courts. Now, why would the Christians go back to the Jewish temple? Doesn't it seem like at this moment they'd say, well, we've done Judaism. We got the whole Old Testament. Let's stay over here and do New Testament now. They went back to the temple courts. Where they think they were meeting was Solomon's colonnade. It was on the east side of the temple. And in this spot, they went there because they were seeking to be relevant. Oh, Pastor, you're just trying to throw your words into the scriptures now. No, they were seeking to be relevant because that spot was the greatest spot in which to declare the Savior has come. You're coming to the temple to worship a God that's going to send a Savior to you. He's come. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's come. And then these people began to be saved. They began to come to Christ. They were relevant. They sat in the location of where they were. Now, I know a lot of you have heard about iPods and podcasts and these different things. And some of you are thinking, well, what in the world is that? It's a little bitty thing. It's like a radio of the days of old, but it's this big. And you can get from your computer music put on it automatically. Well, we started doing podcasts of our sermons over the past years. Over the past year, we've had 42,000 downloads, meaning people have taken it from the computer onto their iPods of sermons from Houston's First Baptist. Do you know how many 8-track tapes we've sold of my sermon this past year? Anybody got a clue how many albums have gone out? For those under 20, an album is a big thing that looks like a Frisbee, is what it looks like. And that's its only use now, is a Frisbee. We're seeking to be relevant. So we've got to get out there where it's relevant. The number one place of downloads of podcasts of our sermons is Houston, Texas. Do you know what the number two is? You could have guessed Houston. The number two is New York City. Isn't that weird? I don't know why. They've been people that have downloaded them in Cuba, in Iran, in South Korea, in China, and in Moldova. We want to be sitting right there where people are to grab Jesus Christ. We've sold 0 8-tracks. We have no vision for 8-tracks to come back. But 42,000 messages have gone out via iPod. We got to go forward. We have got to go forward. And they moved forward and went back to the temples. They broke bread in the homes. Go out to eat with somebody. Think of how you get the best relationships in your life. You ask somebody out on a date. Men, you ask a lady out on a date. What do? You take her out to eat. You take her out to eat a whole bunch of times until finally you end up, all of those out to eats total into a rehearsal dinner. And at least you get to stick it on your parents at that point. They got to pay for it. Then you have a rehearsal dinner. And then you go and you begin, now that you've got the wedding coming up, what's the first thing you do? You go down to Dillard's or Macy's or wherever, and you pick out plates. And you pick out china. And then you sit down and you have dinner together every night. And here they were, they broke bread, and they had community. And I'm telling you, if we don't spend time and we don't trust one another, we will not build community. We will be a mega church corporation. And I have no desire to lead a mega church corporation. I have a great desire to pastor a church. They broke bread, and it resulted in this as we listen. In verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now you know the east side, Solomon's colonnade. It says this, they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Let's stop for a second. They had two results of community. Number one, glad and sincere hearts. Glad and sincere hearts. When we operate in community, we are glad in our hearts. There's joy in our hearts that comes out. When we operate in community, there's gladness that comes. There's smiles that happen. Howard Hughes had $4 billion and he said he'd give it all for one true friend. Gladness in the heart does not come from wealth. Gladness in the heart does not come from accomplishments. Gladness in the heart comes from friendships, community with the believers in Christ. And sincerity of heart comes from that. Sincerity of heart, in the Greek, what this word means is simplicity of heart. Sincerity is a word that they would also use in Greek for simplicity of heart, for singleness of focus. Sincere means you're the only one. Sincere means I'm focused on you. Sincere means I really gave it my best. I wasn't distracted. Sincere means there's a target on the wall. Somebody this week, they didn't know they were giving me a sermon illustration, but they brought to my office this sign. Simplify. This is a sign of a family in our church. They've got a lot of kids and they've got a lot of mom's taxi running around doing a whole bunch of getting kids to soccer and football and everything else. And this hangs in the entryway of their heart, I hope too, but in their hallway. And this is what needs to hang on the heart. This is what needs to hang on the heart. Because distracted does not lead to sincere hearts. Simplify. And it says they were together with glad and sincere simplified hearts. What was the focus of the early church? The focus of the early church was Jesus Christ having his way. I can't put it in a nifty slogan for us, but here's the vision and focus of the church here in Houston's First Baptist. Jesus Christ, have your way. Have your way. Do what you wish. Do what you wish. And our hearts will be glad, and our hearts will be sincere, and our hearts will be simplified with no other agenda. And it says in the next part, the next result of community, that they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people. Vertical praise, horizontal respect. Vertical praise brings horizontal respect. The community of believers, follow me, they're together, they're breaking the bread, they're loving each other well, they're being authentic, they're being involved, they're being impacted, they're being impactful. It's happening. The church is the church. It's the body of Christ. It's not just everybody show up at a certain time. It's people coming together to do life. And as they do life, their hearts become glad. Their hearts become simplified. They become sincere and vertical praise to God. And it results in horizontal respect of men. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of men. Our church should not be famous for having great buildings and great facilities. Our church should not be famous for preaching. Our church should not be famous for pageant. Our church should not be famous for the past. It should not be famous for the future. It should be famous for the praise of God that comes out of this place. That's what it should be famous for. May my name be forgotten, and may Jesus' name be lifted up high. And then that will enjoy the favor of all men. You want to reach our community? Let's praise Jesus with everything we got. We want to reach people that aren't going to church anymore? Let's praise Jesus with all that we've got. And let's be a community of believers. When somebody walks in, they find a loving place. It says in verse 47, and we'll close up, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And this is crucial. And the Lord, who? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Great communities, godly community gives credit where credit is due to the Lord. Anybody that ever comes to this church, you know who's responsible for that? The Lord. It's God's deal. And this community, they knew that it was the Lord that added daily. It wasn't the pastor that added daily. It wasn't the ministers that added daily. It was the Lord that added daily. There's kind of a joke in church world and or in ministry world, and it's this. You know, if everything's going great, everybody in the church says, man, God's really blessing. And everything's going bad, the staff's really messing up. Well, it's got to be one or the other. The Lord, though, is both. The staff is never it. Now, does that mean that people don't get fired at times and people don't get reprimanded at times? Of course, but it's always the spot that the Lord is the one doing it. It is the Lord that is making a difference. And we've got to have the focus that Jesus Christ is the Lord and he is the one that adds, I love it, daily. Not every Sunday he adds. Daily he adds. Because church is not about church. Church is about the church being the church. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and so it goes. And we would often say incorrectly, the staff added on Sunday. Wrong. The Lord added every single day. What did he add them to? He added them to, as we close up, the body of Christ, the family of God, and secondly, membership in the local church was connected to salvation. It says that the Lord added to their number daily. Salvation and membership in the local church are connected. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to pump up numbers. Our numbers are great. I'm saying it because who cares about numbers? God cares about lives. And in caring about lives, God wants to add all of us to a community. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. You can get everything in solitude except character. And God plants us in a spot. And so if you're here, if you're here in this spot and you do not have a local church, we'd love to be that for you. If we're not that for you, that's fine. Plug your life in somewhere. Plug it in. We would prefer, I would prefer you to plug it in any Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Doesn't matter if it's this one. Your life is more important than membership roles in any building. And the local church and salvation were connected. The Lord added to their number daily. He added to the body of believers that were there. How is community discovered at HFBC? By being a part of a worship service like this, yes, but you must step from a crowd to a smaller class. Step from here and in just a few moments, go to a Bible study class. Find one that you can know those people's names. You can love them well. Many of you for years and years and years have been in that class and you know what I'm talking about. That builds a community. Finding a Bible study and then the milestones thing that you can find where you are in life and connect in the milestones that we've had laid out before us that we've sent you mail about and talked about. And then also, lastly, the third thing, be involved in missions or in volunteering. And if you worship here in a large group, that's great. But you also got to find a place where the crowd turns into a class. That's Sunday Bible study. Then find a spot then that you can volunteer and use your spiritual gift and be on mission with God. And when that happens, God will do. God will blow in because community is not built around interests or age. Community is built around the Holy Spirit of God. I have in my office, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper, door hangers. And they're on my doors. And their little kids made me some door hangers, and they say on them, we pray for you, Pastor Greg, one of them says. We prayed for you. You get all sorts of conjugation of verbs with kids. We prayed for you. We prayed for, she was texting me, just put the number four, you, with a letter U there. These hang on the door in my office. Do you know why? Because this is the community of our church. I don't have a lot in common with a third grader. But I want to be connected with them. I'm not interested in what they're interested in, but I want to be connected with them. Why? Because connection in community is not about age. If you only like the old people in this church, you need to get your heart right with God. If you only like the young people in this church, you need to get your heart right with God. If you only like the people that are your age, you need to get your heart right with God, because I know them all and they're great. They are great. Community is not built around age. It is not built around interest. Well, I like bicycles. You like bicycles? Let's be in Christian community together. No, it is built around the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father, shows us himself in no greater spot of community than this cup and this bread right here. This is what we rally around in the family of God. If you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, I want to ask you today that you'd politely allow these elements to pass before you. That you would allow them to just go before you. And in a moment after this is done, we have a special moment for you. And it's what we call the invitation. And it is when I will ask, if you would like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that you would come down front. And that will be your moment. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you just let these pass before you and let this be illustration of the death and bloodshed of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and then these plates will pass. Father, we thank you, Lord. We simplify. All of life comes down to this little cracker and this little cup of juice, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and we thank you. As we inspect our own hearts, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse of scripture that God laid on my heart for us today, it's a little bit different than a Lord's Supper passage, but this is what it says. Colossians, we're familiar with that book. Verse 20, and through him, it was God's desire to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies of God in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Deacons, you can be seated. This body is the body of Christ. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and for my sins. He's hung on the cross, and this body was broken. We take it in remembrance of him. This blood is to wash us clean. We can't do it with our willpower. We can't do it with our unction. Can't get smart enough to get sin out of our lives. This juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean. It brings us in to community with him. Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful to break bread together today and the bread to be the Lord's Supper. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.